Busted on Air Music presents Long Player.
Francisca Griffin was formerly known as Kathy Bull, as the bassist of Look Blue, Go Purple, Flying Nun band, many of you will be familiar with. Francisca changed her name some years ago after becoming sort of involved with a spiritual group, and that was part of what she did. I heard the story in an interesting interview with Karen Hay. Griffin was her maiden name, if you will. And she hasn't released music for a really long time. Her first solo album was 20 years ago, 1998, Some From the Sky, and she's just come forth with The Spaces Between. It's been a long time in the works, but it's worth the wait. It's an absolutely stunning record laid down at the Ante Room a while ago, 2015, and I gave her a call to have a little chat about it. So take a listen. Hello, Francisca.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Really happy to be speaking to you. Congratulations on an amazing album. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yay. How are you feeling now that you've got it out there in the world?
Oh, you know, when I saw the record, I opened it up and just felt the cover, and it was perfect. It was so perfect. And then I started reading some lyrics on the back, started reading the lyrics of My Wish to Myself, and then I started crying. It was really kind of unexpected. You know, we all want things to be perfect, and perfection is something that we need to stop chasing. And just the lyrics of that song kind of tell me that.
I get the impression these songs have sort of been brewing and forming for a long time. Is that true?
That's completely true. The oldest whole song on that record is Ghost Boy, and the newest song on the record is My Wish, actually. Yeah, and they span pretty much a 20-year period.
And it's been about that long since you put out your last record.
That's right, 1998, the last one came out.
When it came to recording The Spaces Between, and you did this a little while ago, 2015.
That's right.
In the Ante Room, is that right? In Dunedin there? Right.
Yeah, in Port Chalmers here. It's an old Masonic lodge just down the road from me, so it's three blocks away.
Oh, lovely. Mm. So when you were, you know, booking this time and going in to record this album, what was your intention? What did you go in wanting to take out?
The bones of 10 songs, pretty much, and then see what we could do with them after that. My good friends, Forbes has become a good friend, and Deirdre Newell, she's always been a good friend. Forbes has become a good friend because I've gotten to know him more. They talked me into recording, basically, so which is why it says on somewhere on the cover that without them it wouldn't have happened, because it wouldn't have. I wouldn't have done it without their encouragement.
You needed that push.
I did.
I want to ask you about a few songs.
Sure.
And the songs in the album seem to me to have a sort of thematic string that sort of tie them together, and there's a lot of songs about loss and grief and new starts and things like that. Is that fair to say?
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
But One Eye Open, the opening song, really comes thundering in, doesn't it?
Yeah. I let Forbes do the tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from My Wish, I said I wanted it to be last because it is, I don't know if it is the most optimistic song on the record, but yeah, anyway, some of them are optimistic and some of them kind of are more not. I don't want to say pessimistic. So One Eye Open, that guitar line is quite old. I think I wrote that one in maybe somewhere around 2000, 2001. And, you know, it's interesting, Danielle, because people like to – I like people to read what they want out of the songs. And it's fascinating to hear them speak it back to me, because One Eye Open isn't really about me, but I suppose it kind of is about me. Maybe it's about someone that I was a long time ago. I don't really know. But the words of that, apart from two lines in the first verse, they just flowed at me, all of those words all at once. Just came out, just wrote them out, what they are on the record.
I love the energy of this song. And I love the vision of this person, this woman sort of crashing through life and the spilling of her chaotic energy. And I think I've been that woman at times too.
I think many of us have. And you know what? I just realised, you know, that song, that gives us permission to be that, because a lot of people see chaos as a bad thing, and chaos is not a bad thing. Chaos is what life grows out of. Yeah, and that's a good thing. And, you know, in the last verse, when, you know, when I sing about tearing a photo up, that is, you know, stop looking back. Stop second-guessing something that you did, beating yourself up for that second, you know, and second-guessing, because, you know, it's behind you. You can't do anything about it.
Your son Gabriel plays drums on that song.
He does, and that's the only song that I said to him when we first started playing together. I said, I want you to drum like this, which is I wanted him to drum like Leslie Paris does on Year of the Tiger on Look Blue Go Purple's last EP, This Is This. You know, she thunders in with that song, and I just thought that's how I want you to do it.
Oh, he nailed it. I wrote the words, kicks off with thundering drums.
Yep. And that's exactly what I wanted him to do, and that's exactly what he does do. And just a teeny little aside there, when we recorded, we used Leslie Paris's drum kit to record with, which was awesome. Very generous of her to lend it to us, because it's a beautiful drum kit. And it's good to have these full circle things.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And you had quite a few guests helping you out on this album, and your three sons, Gabriel, Alexander and Oscar, among them.
Yes.
How is that making music with your sons?
Oh, it's absolutely awesome. When we had the launch at the Cook, having both Gabriel and Alexander play on Bones and Lies, because of course when we were recording, it was overdubs.
Yes, there's a lot happening in that song.
That's right. So I wasn't. Yeah, exactly. There is a lot happening. There's many people in that song. Of course, I wasn't there for all the overdubs.
Hmm.
So it was really good to practice that song up with Alexander and, be there with both he and Gabriel. And so we recorded that song just with the guitar. And that song, that's probably the steadiest that song gets on that record because it lurches all over the place. Forbes and I talked Gabriel into putting drums on afterwards, which was really hard for him. But he did a stellar job, and so it was really cool to be playing with him live. Songs are always different when you're playing them live. You never recreate a record, and I don't want to recreate a record. I want that song to be in the moment that it's in when you're playing it. So yeah, being on stage with both my sons, and also that song where Alistair Galbraith and Deirdre Newell, they did their parts as well, and that was really super. It was. Yeah, awesome.
On Bones and Lies?
Yes, that's right.
It's your country song on the album a little bit, isn't it?
Oh, it so is. Yeah, it's the backwoods Appalachian song that got collected. You know, people used to go out and collect songs on phonographs. They would climb up mountains to visit communities with an Edison phonograph that, of course, recorded as well as played. I just think that's insane.
And this is how the Carter family and people like that rose to fame, isn't it?
It definitely is, yes. Yeah.
I like the use of space in that song because we did talk about there's a lot happening. There's sort of lots of layers and beautiful percussion and the drums and the guitar, but there's also everything kind of builds into a cacophony and then it falls again.
Well, that is Forbes' mastery with the mixing, basically. Yeah.
And it sort of speaks to the title with the spaces in between, between the notes and between the instruments.
Yes, exactly, exactly. It is the bits in between. Even in the most frenetic song, there are still bits in between. But, there's, of course, a lot more obvious in a song like Bones and Lies.
All Bones and Lies. Broken glass and knives. I am so sick of crying after you have gone. Shedding some skin. Top of my head.
song itself, Bones and Lies, to me it reads as a song about rebirth and new starts. Do you remember sort of writing this song?
Oh, I definitely remember writing this song, and it really, it was like I was writing it as another person entirely. And the phrase Bones and Lies, I think I came across it when I was listening to national radio one day. I can't quite remember, and I just heard somebody saying something about Bones and Lies, and then the next line came, broken glass and knives. That it just, like so many of my songs, it basically just took on a life of its own, and it was as though I was writing from the point of view of, you know, I could see this woman really clearly in a house dress, which that's just what the Americans call it, you know, it's a dress you don't wear out, you know, house dress with maybe with an apron on top of it. And she is looking out of her shack, I guess, and, you know, saying these words to this man who's left yet again. And, you know, that's basically, she's just going to wait and wait herself out and be her own woman.
I love it. I think it might be my second favorite song on the record. My first favorite, it's a very emotive song, and you mentioned earlier it's the first song you wrote, is Ghost Boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really gut-wrenching song.
Well, that's about Oscar. And when he was 10, he went to live with his dad and his stepmom in London. And I've had hard things in my life. that was a really, really hard one. You know, there was parts of him that didn't want him to leave, and there was all of me that didn't want him to leave. And I was reminded of my parents splitting up when I was 11. Mm. My dad came to this part of the world, and I was a teenager, and I would fight with my mum. And long story short, when I was 15, I came here to New Zealand to live with my father, and I didn't really know until I was helping Oscar to go, because that's what he wanted to do and didn't want to do, that how hard it must have been for my mother to let me go, to go to the other side of the world and pretty much not come back until I was much older. So Oscar came back when he was 12 with his dad for a visit, which was amazing. It was so, so cool. And at some stage in that visit, we had a huge fight. Of course we did, because, you know, that's going to happen. Mm. So that song came out of it. Like, I didn't know how to deal with it. I really didn't.
It is hard to be saying goodbye, try not to cry. I know that I will see you again. Thank you. again, smiling light. Arms spread wide, reaching out to hold the world. Arms spread wide, reaching out to hold the world. Sun in your heart. I open my palm. You reach out your arms. I miss you.
It's really a beautiful song, and again, beautiful use of space. I've been told there's an ebo, use of an ebo.
Yeah.
That sort of threads itself through the song, and it has this sort of hair-raising effect. It sort of comes and goes. Where did that sort of idea to use that technique come from?
So with the overdubs and the people that I wanted to play on the songs, I knew, apart from the song Martin, which took me a while to formulate in my head what I wanted on it, and talking with Forbes about it, and just actually being quiet within myself so that whatever was needed in those songs could arrive without me analyzing. So I asked Alistair to play on that song. He also plays on Bones and Lies and My Wish, and I don't like, apart from what I said about One Eye Open and Gabriel's drumming, I don't want to tell people what to do. I want them to bring their own take to the song. So that's what Alistair brought to Ghost Boy.
Is it okay if we talk about the next song that follows Ghost Boy, which is Martin?
Sure.
Because that's about your husband, Martin Bull, who died shortly after you were married.
He did, 7 months after we were married.
And people may be familiar with him as the drummer for The Chills.
Yes.
And when did you write the song Martin?
I wrote that one in, let me think. I'm not really exactly sure. Maybe 2003, 2004. I don't really know what to actually say about that song. We weren't together very long at all, but Martin had and has still a huge impact on me as a person and a musician. He taught me how to play bass. He taught me how to play guitar. He said, you've got to practice. You have to practice. You have to practice. And so when I practice a lot of the time when I practice, I think about him. He left me all his instruments apart from his drum kit, which he sold to Leslie Paris. Before he died.
Is this the same drum kit that you used?
Yep.
Oh, right. I see.
Yeah. Mm. Just super cool. Yeah. It's kind of like, now, who was it saying? Nick Cave talking about the songs on A Skeleton Tree.
Mm-hmm.
All of the songs, but some of the songs and how they were his also Marlon Williams talking about, the songs about breakup and about death. And maybe a bunch of other musicians as well, I don't know, that you write these songs as a way to process what you're feeling, whatever it may be, and, grieving songs and, getting up on stage and playing those songs. Marlon Williams talked about it being more about a performance than an actual emotional experience. I agree with that to some extent, because when I'm playing some of the songs, it's just the song and it's the joy of the song which of course is an opposite to perhaps the subject matter of the song. When I also think that when you're completely attached to the song and you're letting the emotions of the song flow, of what the song is evoking flow, then that makes it amazing as well.
I think it's interesting you talked about the joy of the song, because Martin, the song, it has a liveliness to it. It has a joy to it. It has that really lovely drumming that's happening, that's quite lively, and it has that saxophone kind of coming in, and it's not necessarily a sad song.
Okay, good. That's good to hear you say that. No, you're right. It's not necessarily a sad song. It's a marker of our life together.
If you've just tuned in, I'm speaking to Franziska Griffin about her new record, The Spaces Between. Franziska, the next song I wanted to ask you about is In the Woods. Do you remember when the line, "Someone's been sleeping in my head," do you remember when that came to you?
Oh, I totally remember that. What a good question. So the verses of that song, I've been reading a Stephanie Dalrick book called Creative Journal Writing. And just how to, I was trying to jog along my songwriting so that it wasn't so, I don't know, autobiographical is what comes to mind. Not that, you know, like Bones and Lies, of course, as I said before. So I wanted to see if I could get myself to do other things with other words.
Mm-hmm. Just stretching out a little bit.
Yeah, stretching out a little bit. So all of the lyrics apart from the chorus of that song come from an exercise I did where you just basically free flow words that kind of vaguely fit together, but they don't. So I was sitting in my practice room, you know, singing the lines, and then I was thinking, what am I going to play for chorus? What am I going to play? And then I just started playing that chorus. And those words just arrived. And what that says to me is that, you know, one day you're sitting there, I'm sitting there, a person is sitting there, and all of a sudden you realize that you've been pretty much asleep, and maybe it's time you became fully conscious of who you are and what you are doing and what you can be doing with your life.
That was In the Woods. I really love that lovely crisp guitar sound you've got happening there.
That's I bought my Yamaha guitar when Martin first got sick, so that I would have so that I would have something to play when the apocalypse came, because we wouldn't have any electricity. and the amplifier that I'm using is a little old school Concord amp that was Martin's, with the most delicious tremolo on it that I've almost been unable to replicate, except with an incredibly expensive foot pedal that I've borrowed a few times when I haven't had my Concord with me. That song, I didn't want anybody else on it, and I wanted to those the bells at the beginning, and there is a backwards 12-string guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Forbes was reticent for me to be doing those things, and then he acquiesced and then said, no, you actually did all the right things with that on that song. That song is so hard to sing because I sing it really high and my register is not naturally up there.
Mm.
And so when I do play it live, I have to be really relaxed and really happy. So it doesn't happen every time I play.
I read that you play guitar upside down. Do you still play guitar upside down?
I surely do, just like Anika Moa. Yep. Well, when I first started learning guitar, I just started playing guitar. We'd be at parties or whatever, and the guitars were never left-handed because Shane's guitars were never out for people to play. So he was the only other left-handed guitarist that I knew back then. So I would start making things up with an upside-down guitar, and so since then I like that sound, and I can't, it's not recreatable with a conventionally strung left-handed guitar.
Right. You brought up at the beginning of our conversation the song The Wish, My Wish.
Yeah.
As the last song you wrote, and when you read the lyrics on the back of the album sleeve, brought everything coming out, flooding out of you. Can you tell me a little bit about that song and what it means to you?
I wrote that song when Peter Gutteridge died. And I think I wrote it to Peter, as opposed to anybody else. But of course, it's taken on a life of its own now. And just that wishing for people to know that they can have a luminous life and they can have a dream field so bright. They just need to be themselves and be within themselves and to also know that crap that happens doesn't have to define you. It can spur you forward, but it doesn't have to make your life. It doesn't have to wreck your heart. And it's much more what I like to do personally, and that is to focus on joyful bits because, crap happens all the time to all of us, and it's our reaction to it that makes our lives what they are.
Your moments of joy.
for talking today. And again, congratulations on releasing such a beautiful album.
Thank you. And I just want to say one last thing. I'm so pleased and amazed that people like this record. Because, of course, yes, I did make it for people who wanted to listen to. Of course, that's what you do. Hmm. But primarily, I wrote it because I did the whole thing because I love it. I love the entire process, the recording, the angsting over the cover. The cover took ages and ages and ages because I wanted it to be just beautiful. And the overdubs and the mixing took us ages and ages and ages because we wanted it to be fantastic. And then the finished product in my hands. But then when someone, for example, like you, and it's in your hands and you tell me that maybe your second favorite song or one of your equal favorite song is Bones and Lies, which is incredible because it is such a wonky song on that album. And I want people to take what they want from it. I don't want people, you beautiful people out there, I don't want you to take what I'm saying from it. Hmm. I want you to take what you're feeling from it.
That was Dunedin-based artist Franziska Griffin speaking about her new record, The Spaces Between. It's out now on Coco Muse. You can pick it up on vinyl. It's also available on CD and, of course, streaming in the regular places, Spotify and etc. I just want to thank Franziska for being so generous when we spoke. And, she talked about lots of difficult things. And, go and listen to the album. It's a beautiful record. And like she said, take from it what you will. And just at the end of our conversation there before we hung up, she said she's going to be doing a bit of touring and is hoping to make it up this way. I think she said September. So keep an eye out for that because I've heard that her live performances are absolutely amazing.
That was Longplayer. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.